saved souls drop out of continuing to the end. There is a penalty for it, and most eternally saved souls drop out of continuing to the end. What do I mean by that? They get saved. They come forward. They make a genuine profession of faith. Otherwise, they're not eternally saved. Now, a verbal diagram, this is, that I'm starting, it's a verbal diagram expressing the Old Testament and New Testament events prophetically. This is what I'm going to have Tommy Brown do me a nice-looking diagram that's easily understandable. And I can't do it anymore. So I'm going to talk about, in this first part, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament admonished several for not teaching the truth in New Testament churches in his day and time. Now, this is what happened. Oh, thank you, Chuck. Summer, I want you to explain that to Chuck as I go along. It'll help him in his ministry. Hey, that's a pretty baby. That's a pretty baby. Now this, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament admonished several for not teaching the truth in New Testament churches in his day. So let's take a look at 1 Timothy 1:15-20, because why are there so many different rapture positions? Good Lord, the thing's been changed so many times and gone back and forth, and there have been so many arguments, it's pathetic. So if you want to know the truth, you've got to go back and meticulously look through the different things that are talked about in both the Old Testament and New Testament. You got to read what Paul wrote. You got to read what all of them wrote. And you've got to come to some conclusions and offer a little bit of proof for it at least. 1 Timothy 1:15-20. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. And Timothy's writing, and the church members all got a copy of this, believe me, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Is ego eimi, he said, of whom I am chief. That's the present indicative active. And it simply means, right now, I'm the chief of sinners. When I first came up here to pastor this church, I didn't really think I was the worst sinner on earth. I do now. Because now I know my inner secret motives. I know everything about it. And so up to this point. But the truth of the matter is, there were people in the church that were teaching this stuff. And you can tell by their names, they're Greek Jews, or at least they're in local churches there. He said that Christ, Jesus, came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am, ego eimi, chief. He said, I'm chief. He wrote this, and it's... And it's one of his latter epistles. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me Christ, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them that should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So if you want to find out what Paul thinks, and what Paul thinks of himself, and what Paul thinks of people in the church, and what they're doing wrong, and what they're not doing wrong, then you better read all of this, because I think anybody will tell you that has been involved in this very long and really trying to find the truth, I think you'll be amazed at how little you know. And here I am, and I'm amazed. Nevertheless, I've learned some things as I've studied this that have been of great benefit to me, and I hope they will be to you. Now he said, now to the King Eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck. You know how to shipwreck a church? Get somebody in it that starts teaching false doctrine. Get somebody in it that's real clever, and they think they're doing the right thing, but they're not. And you get in a church, you got to keep it straight. And you won't keep it straight If you just want to be popular and you want to be nice and you want to be liked, because you can get in a church and teach around all this and make a very big mistake. Now what he says, of whom, he describes them, is Herminius and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan. Now come on, he's delivered them unto Satan, and that means they better pay attention to this, that they may learn not to blaspheme. You say, well, people today in God's local New Testament churches, they don't blaspheme. You ain't been around very long. You ain't gone through what preachers go through that are called to preach the gospel. You have no idea how many people in the church blaspheme and teach stuff. And when you start trying to teach people that, I guarantee you that the ones that are blaspheming, they don't want to hear one single solitary word of it. They get their own concepts, their own idea, and they quit learning, they quit studying, they don't care. I care whether you go to hell or not. Now let me tell you the truth. I'm chief of sinners. You say, well, are you more concerned about going to heaven than you are about me? Yeah, I am. You say, well, that's crazy. That's a lie. No, it ain't a lie. You say, are you more concerned about my wife going to heaven as you are your own? No. You say, well, you're wrong. You're just crazy. You don't really have the Spirit. That's a bunch of baloney that they may not learn. You may not learn to blaspheme. You can't blaspheme unless you have some general idea of what the teaching of the whole Bible is. People are going into a period of time where they're going to have to go through part of the tribulation. And you're it if you want to know who you are, because you're going to go up to the seventh trumpet. You say, well, is anybody going to go beyond that will end up eventually in heaven? Yes. How many? Oh, not very many at all. And I tell you what, if they end up and have to wait a while before they go, they deserve every single second of it. So this is something that in the church, people have just failed to read this and look at it and see what Paul was talking about. He said, how are you going to deliver somebody to Satan? You have the power to send a person to hell? No. Do you have a power to tell a person, don't you take the Lord's Supper with us anymore? You're welcome to come here, but you got to stop taking the Lord's Supper. It just doesn't work out that way. And if they want to stay and keep coming, please do. You say, has that ever happened in this church? Yes, it has. Have any of them ever repented and changed? Yes. How many? I'm not going to give you the number. I didn't keep up with it. I got a lot better things to keep up with than a new lighter says you can look in a person's eyes and tell whether they're saved or not. Oh, Terry, I don't know. You look a little shaky. That they may learn not to blaspheme. Now in 2 Timothy 3, 8 through 12, he says, now it is Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also be. May learn not to blaspheme. Withstood Moses, so do, let me start over. 2 Timothy 3, 8 through 12, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these which resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. We've had some people in this church in all the years I've been here that never did learn the teachings of Christ on something. What they did was just learned about things, put them all together to their own convenience, had ambitions and goals to do this and do that. And you say, well, would you tell us who they were? You think I'm a fool? I've discovered, let the people in the church decide for themselves. If they can't decide for themselves, you haven't taught them properly. You say, well, did you ever say to yourself, you haven't taught them properly? Yes, I have. You say, well, are you sure you're teaching us right now? Well, I'm doing the best I know how, and I've talked to the Lord about this, and I guarantee you I'm scared to death if it was wrong, and it's not wrong that they're that way. You say, well, you need to start doing that, making all that. You don't know how many times I heard people, you need to straighten out that church and get all the unbelievers out of there. Well, you just do that yourself, and you just call out and say, we want to get this person out of the church because we think that they're blaspheming. Get them out for this or that. And I'll just be happy to let the church vote about it. Or you just go ahead and sit there and follow the policy we normally do, which is if a person in this church is doing something wrong and it's brought up, and they won't repent and they won't change and we know they're wrong, then we'll do something. What do? Tell them to quit taking the Lord's Supper. You say, you can't do that. Well, I just told you that that's the church policy and that's what we do. And you say, well, what if we want to change it? Well, bring it up. You say, well, that'll make you mad. No, it won't make me mad. If you got a good case, it won't make me mad, because I realize I'm an imperfect human being. And I've done the very best I know how, and I've tried to respond to God's Holy Spirit, and I worry about everything I preach concerning that. But I've got to follow the Spirit that's in me, and the Spirit that's in me is the Spirit of Christ. And I worry all the time about, am I teaching that correctly? You say, well, I don't do that anymore. Well, you need to start. He says, but hast thou known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Now, you got Paul's life. You got it in the Bible. And there's a book out by Connie Bear and another fella, and it's the life of the Apostle Paul. It's very accurate. It tells you what he did. It tells you why he did it. It tells you where he went. You want to see the life of Paul? Persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. You ought to go in there and look at what persecutions he endured. Study it for yourself. You don't need to believe something just because I tell you. Good gracious, just ask my kids. They say, they realize how imperfect I am. My wife realized how imperfect I am. God forgave me. But that doesn't mean I didn't have to ask for forgiveness. I've been an imperfect man in my life. I never cheated on my wife. But quite frankly, I did look a few times. And more than a few times. I might as well be honest before God. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. You have a vote. You have a right to be in this church. If you claim to be a member and you feel like that you're doing wrong, you don't have to confess it to us. Just quit doing it. Or if you can come down and if you confess it and then start trying to change, you think we're going to send you out? Say, don't you ever come back down here again. You might as well be in the Hebrew culture. Anyway, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. You know why I know I'm called? After all these years here, you have no idea how many times God has delivered me. And I didn't think I was even in trouble during some of those times. I thought I was doing right. But God sent people in the church, and I said, you know, I need to change that. You say, well, you need to rebaptize all those people. I would have told you, and I would have rebaptized every one of you. You say, well, I fear God. I revere God. I respect God. And I'm willing to change if you can prove it to me in Scripture. That's the way I am. What persecutions I endured. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And you show me a man that's been to churches that have run him off, run him off, and mistreated him, wouldn't listen. Man that knew the truth, tried to teach it to them, they run him off. Now, I guarantee you, if I went to any church, most of the churches, they'd have run me off a long time ago. And when I first came up here, and I knew what I believed was correct, but I had to say, well, Lord, you want me to go? And he just didn't. They called me at several churches, and then God kept me out of it. Didn't want me to do it. People would come around and warn me at the church, and I listened. And I felt good about it. And I came back, and I said, no, that's not right. I said, well, why? He said, you won't like it here. And he told me why, and I said, no, you're right, I won't like it. And I said, do you think it can be changed? No. I had conversations with people about this. Now, you say, well, what did the Lord think of that? He liked it. He liked for me to look. He liked for me to examine. And I've been examining ever since. I've learned a lot from Chuck. I learned a lot from his dad. I learned a lot from older preachers that gave me advice. And you say, well, God should have taught you. He did. Do you think I'm the only man on the earth that God works through? God works through lots of people. God works through you. And if you're a legitimate member of this church and you see something in it that you say, this is wrong, bring it up. Don't be afraid to bring it up. We can always change if we find we're wrong. But don't turn it into a fist fight, or don't turn it into something that you just feel guilty about all the time. Isaiah 29, 6 and 8. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and earthquake and great noise, with storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. You notice who wrote that? Isaiah. You know what we've just been visited with? You say, well, you can't prove it. I don't have to prove it to anybody but myself. You think that I enjoyed going through it and getting all this wonderful education? Do you think my two cheeks on the back that I don't smile with? You think I enjoyed sitting on all that time? You think that I enjoyed what I've had to do? I wanted to be a grocery store clerk. I was already assistant manager. I wanted to do just like my father and my father before him. I worked hard. And I wanted to achieve. I wanted to be successful. That wasn't God's plan for me. You say, well, what did you do? Well, I finally figured out I don't know very much. Now, let me tell you what I've learned. I don't know very much. Now, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to pastor this church right. And if you think I'm not pastoring it right, I won't get mad at you. Just go ahead and bring it up and say, well, I think we ought to do this. Well, let's talk about it. And if I don't go along with you, let's just keep talking. You say, till we agree, agree with you? No, till I understand why I'm wrong. And then that'll be fine. I don't have any problem with it. Because I understand Paul. He said, I'm the chief of sinners. You know who you're looking at? The chief of sinners. You say, well, God's forgiven you of all that. How do you think I learned? How do you think I learned? And all the multitude of the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her multitude and that distress her, shall be a dream of a night vision. When you ever have a night vision, you ever have a bad dream, you ever have a good dream, you have ever had an in-between vision of something and you just dreamed it and it was so real to you. And when you woke up, you thought, oh my goodness. Well, I have. It shall be as when a hungry man dreameth. I've had dreams about being hungry. Lord, I love your spaghetti. And sometimes I dream about your spaghetti. And I dreamed about Imogene's spaghetti, not spaghetti, but she made the best apple pies of anybody I've ever seen. I would dream about her apple pies. You say, oh, I never did that. Well, I have. And when I woke up, I didn't have an apple pie. I didn't have any of your chili. And his soul is empty. I mean, you didn't get what you wanted. You dreamed and you didn't get what you wanted. Well, what does that tell you? You don't always get what you want and what you dream for. Or when a thirsty man dreameth, and behold, he drinketh. I was stationed in the Sahara Desert. And I'd get so thirsty out there. And you didn't have a refrigerator. And so what you had to do was just drink hot water. Hot water doesn't satisfy very much. And behold, he drinketh, and when he awaketh, behold, he is faint. You know how many times I thought about cool water. You ever think of that? I dreamed about cool water. And whenever we could, we'd go out and we'd rent an old car. Well, the whole bunch did. And we'd go up on the mountain that was, what was the name of that mountain up in northern Iraq? Not a northern Iraq, but northern, northern Morocco. I was over there when the French had it. And we'd go up to this mountain. I can't think of the name of it. And we'd drive up it just as fast as we could. And even in the summertime, it had snow on top of it. And we got this old station wagon. And we would drive all the way up on top of that mountain, load the back of it up with snow, go down that thing as fast as we possibly could so the snow wouldn't melt. And we'd have a snow fight out in the middle of the Sahara Desert. How many people do you know that had a snow fight out in the Arab Desert? And there were several times I wish I had had you out there, Chili, all by yourself with no water, you and Ken. Every time they didn't like my driving, and Ken, and he'd look back at Ken like this. And Ken would be back there praying. Because we were going over mountains you could kill yourself with. So that's why I didn't want them to drive. But they might have got the gear shift right. I never did. When he is faint, and a soul hath appetite, so shall the multitude of the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. You're going to get to see that from a distance. But you're going to get to see it. But this is Isaiah. Do you know you got to take what all the prophets said? Some people just take and they show this diagram out of Clarence Larkin, and I saw it, and it shows it goes across, but we can't understand what Isaiah said or anything else. Why not? Why not? You say, well, I learned that in school. I learned a lot of things in school that I didn't agree with. But I proved them to myself. Now let's take a look at Ephesians 4, 1 through 32. I therefore, the prisoner of the Apostle Paul, of prisoner of the Lord. Now we're going to look at, we've just looked at 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 20, and look at two kind of people that were in the church. Are, well, some of them might have just been saved and not in the church. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. Wherein you are called. The word vocation and called, I believe in this, are exactly the same. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Poor old Terry's real good at doing that. She is. She's real good at doing that. And she's real kind to me. And she loves me to death. And I hurt all the time. You say, are you about to offer us an excuse? No, I'm just telling you about what a nice person Terry really is. Anybody that would put up with me has to be saved or shoot themselves. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How many of you are interested in keeping the bond of the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? Well, I am. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, tell us what that really means. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you. You know how Christ got in me? I repented. I repented toward God and put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when I got saved. And He's been in me ever since. And when that happened, I thought, well, now I'm saved. I'm okay. Everything's fine. And I said, I'm going to serve God. I had to learn some things about myself before I served God, before I was any use at all. I had to learn about the local church. I had to learn how important it is. I had to learn how God looks at it. And that's the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. I've seen men's heart blown out on the ground. You say, well, that must have been difficult. Well, I knew what was happening. I knew the man's heart was blown out on the ground, and I knew he was dying. You say, well, does that stick with you? It sticks with me all the time. I never forget it. Never. Never. I can't forget it. You say, well, you should. I can't forget it. But I know that God used things like that to teach me. He says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. That's what he said. Therefore, he put a conclusion in there. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach them what? What I just said. Then he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, as God, fulfilled three offices. The office of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, the church, that's why I love this church. You say, well, why do you love God? Because he first loved me. That's what he says. He says, you love me because I first loved you. Well, who do you think taught me about the church? Who do you think gave me this teaching? Who do you think is leading me to teach this? If a preacher ever thinks he's learned everything there is to learn about everything, he's nothing but a proud, arrogant peacock. Been there, been that, done that. You want to know why I know I'm going to heaven? Well, it's not all that difficult. The Bible says, blessed is he. What's the first beatitude? Anybody know what the first beatitude is? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. After confessing all this stuff to you, you know what you're looking at? A man who God taught, he was a poor spirit and couldn't even save himself or help himself. When I came to the Lord, he began to teach me. For other preachers, it's been a harder track than it has for me. People have left this church over me. Other people may do the same in the future. But that's not what's important. How am I going to do as a pastor while I'm here? Am I going to keep on learning? Am I going to keep on changing more into what God wants me to be? Or am I going to become worse? He says, but unto everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now notice what it says Jesus did. This is the important thing. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. See this thing back here? The last chart, number 7. I made this chart when I first came up here, long, long time ago. I had one man that objected to it, made fun of me over it. Well, I didn't have much spiritual fortitude back then. But that man's gone. And he took some with him. You say, which one was it? Oh, I don't know. There have been people done a lot of things here that hurt me personally. But I wasn't spiritual enough to just ignore it and go on. You say, well, what happened? Other people in the church helped me. They helped me to understand things that I was having a hard time with, that they'd had experience in, and I really appreciated it more than they'll ever realize. He descended first. What is it that he ascended up on high and led captivity captive? Do you know where all those people were that were in Abraham's bosom? They were on the other side of a great gap that they couldn't cross over to. They were in Abraham's bosom. You know who they were? Old Testament saints. And gave gifts unto men. You say he rewarded them with glorified bodies. Did he? Why did those people over there, why did he identify those people as mortars over in the 6th chapter of Revelation? And gave gifts unto men. What gifts did he give them? Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth? That's where Abraham's bosom was. That's where hell is. You say, I can't believe that. Well, you just go ahead and don't believe it. I've had enough experience on this. I believe it. He that descended is the same that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles. Am I an apostle? They're all dead. And some prophets. No, I'm not a prophet. They're all dead. And some evangelists. Am I an evangelist? You say, well, tell us, Brother McElmurray, if there are some people that are evangelists. Kenneth could sit and talk to a man about the Lord until the cows come home and love every minute of it. Other people can't do that. Pastors and teachers, I have that gift. I'm a pastor and I'm a teacher. You say, who was your teacher? My teacher was God. What was his name? Jesus Christ. You say, where is your soul? Ever since he went down and released them from prison, and incidentally, he carried them into heaven. They've been there. Have they got the glorified bodies? Not according to the sixth chapter of Revelation. Why am I here? Why are you here, Chuck? I'll tell you why you're here. You're a pastor and you're a teacher, and for the perfecting of the saints, you need to be perfected, and I need to be perfected. And you and your dad helped me a lot in that way. And other old preachers helped me a lot in that way, because we are called for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know why I love you, Chuck Trustee? It's because that's what you are. And I love you. I'll do anything in the world I can for you. I pray for you. I know you pray for me. And if you came and convinced me of something, and I could be in fellowship with you on it and feel about it, I'd change, Chuck. I really would. I'm not a hard nose. For the perfecting of the saints and for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? You think this is a perfect church? I hate that thing that says, the end of your church, search for a perfect church. They got it out in some of the worst churches you've ever seen in your life, that don't know their left foot from their right. The end of your search for a perfect church. This church is not perfect, but the head of it is. Jesus, the foundation of it is. And what we believe, we try to be like he taught us we were supposed to be. And in today's society, it's not a very easy job to do that. So give us a little sympathy. No, I don't want any sympathy. I finally learned I don't need any sympathy. As long as I got Terry, I just take all my frustrations out on her. She's a good frustrator. And of the knowledge of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Chuck Trustee needs to do that. Your pastor is also a pastor. And Chuck loves me. He senses that I'm a God-called preacher. I sense that he is. We love the Lord because he first loved us. Look at the wife he gave her. Look at the wife he gave me. Who taught me that? God. Why do I know it's true? Because that's what you go through whenever you're going to do what you want. Whenever you feel like God wants me to do this, and you can't find satisfaction until you get in a church that preaches the truth that you can be comfortable in. And Jesus, the Lord said that in the Old Testament, he kind of winked at a thing. That doesn't mean he just winked and said, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. He just kind of said, okay, because he knows how weak we are. We are very weak. You say, well, once you get to be a pastor, you've got to be strong. You don't have to be strong. God's strong. You say, well, how do I get into heaven? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You will never, ever be at the point where you say, well, I'm going to heaven because I'm perfect in the spirit. Well, if you think you're perfect in the spirit, then you ought to have a little more mercy than you have on other people sometimes. You say, could you define that to me? Not very accurately, but I know that I'm teaching the truth and I'm willing to change. And I won't change to something that's wrong, because God will surely bother me about it to the depths of my soul. And you have no idea how long I've thought about preaching this. He says, where am I, April? Which line is it?
Very top, the second line. That we henceforth be no more children.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. You think the devil's a dummy? You think that those tares don't know anything? Whereby they lie in wait to deceive. How do you determine who is and who isn't? A tear doesn't last very long in a New Testament church. If the pastor's still learning and somebody needs help, God sends somebody. You say, are you certain of that? I'm absolutely positive. And that's why I tell you, I listen. And I'm willing to change. But I won't change. I guarantee you God won't let me if you try to teach me something that he doesn't approve of, which is the head, even Christ. So when the people that have left this church, I did not teach anything they taught. Nothing. But I wasn't sure. That's why God sends other preachers to help other preachers. And I needed help. You say, well, is the church unscriptural? No, I guarantee you it's not unscriptural. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. You're an important joint, a part of this church. You ought to be concerned about it. Are we worshiping God the way we should? Effectual working in the measure of every part of it. This is a local church, making increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. You say, well, how's that done? Should we get out and get on blankets or get on white clothes and go from door to door and say, hello, we're from Jesus? No, it doesn't work that way. In the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. Now notice, but you have not so learned Christ. If God saved you, and you actually inside you, you didn't have to be highly complicated, you actually realized there's God. And you realize that his son, he had a seed. That's the first thing he did. He told you to put your faith in the seed. You know what it was? It was a blood seed. Do you know why you're sitting here? Because of the grace of God and that blood seed. You say, well, that's what Chuck helped me with. And I'm very appreciative of it because he's right. And when I saw that, I hadn't preached anything wrong. I just didn't have complete understanding in it. But I didn't teach anything wrong. And this was a scriptural church. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That's true. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, your former lifestyle. I've been trying to do that ever since. Still am. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. This carnal nature, when I go to heaven and I'm up there, I won't have it anymore. Praise God for that. I won't have it anymore. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How many people keep coming after they get saved? You say, well, how do you tell if it's genuine or not? I can't. But you said, but if they keep coming to church all the time and sitting and listening to preaching like this and what Chuck preaches and what Kenneth preaches, and who else is preaching in this church? Anyway, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Ken and I ain't going to go into that. He said, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. You say, well, do you ever lie to a church member? I have skirted around the truth a lot, but I've never come out and rightly lied to them because I knew they couldn't take what I had to say. Be ye angry and sin not. If I commit a sin, if I get mad at another church member, I have learned, where did I learn this? The Lord. Where from? His work, his word. And let not the sun go down on your wrath. I guarantee you he's eaten me alive by the time I get back to the house. And I immediately confess it to the Lord and I apologize to that person. We've had people in this church that I've apologized to and they wouldn't take it. Over and over again, I apologized to them and I wasn't guilty. You say, well, you should have fought it out. No. No. But finally I got some help from somebody. And I said, I'm going to do what I should do. And I just started apologizing to him. Finally he couldn't take any more. He left. But rather let him labor working with his hands that which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. That isn't just talking about money. Most churches think, most people think the church is a place where you should support the poor and all this stuff. I understand that. But that's a way of life. I'm your pastor. I'm not supposed to lie to you. I'm not supposed to do this and that. Okay. Where did I come to that conclusion? Others helped me. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That's what I'm doing right now. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That covers everything. You say, well, if you do any of that stuff, Brother Michael Murray, you're going to hell. You may think so, but I don't. What am I trying to do? And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You notice we changed the print here. This is number 6. The next one is that diagram. I want you to hold on to this, because next Sunday I'm going to finish it. Lord willing, if I live that long. Right now, I'm very pleased with the people in this church. And I'm trying to be pleasing in the sight of God. I'm not your tyrant. I'm your pastor. You didn't have to amen that. I'm not your tyrant. But I am your friend. And you do understand. I know that because you put up with me being your pastor and my hands shake. I don't have the confidence I used to have. But that's good. You're a nice bunch of people, all of you. Well, there might be some exceptions. Kenneth, would you dismiss?